We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Chatting here today with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy, ahead of the City Commission's Tuesday meeting at 7 p.m. tonight. And a number of ways you can tune in, again, cityofmhk.com/TV, the City of Manhattan Facebook page, or Cox Cable Channel 3. We got a caller, couldn't wait through the break, but did leave us a question here. With the pandemic and downturn in the economy, has the city seen an increase in delinquency and property tax?
So I don't believe so right now. So keep in mind that property taxes are typically paid in December and in May. And that May payment, which is the second half payment, is the one that really dictates the revenue for essentially this calendar year. So if memory serves me right, typically the revenue at the end of May is usually in about the 95% category received. And I think County Treasurer Shiloh Hager reported that maybe that was about 93% instead of 95%. So very close. And then the other property taxes that dwindle in through the course of the year, of course, is your personal property taxes that you pay when you register your vehicle, some of those of which have been delayed. So I don't think we anticipate a very large delinquency based on that. What the future will hold for that, though, for, you know, this December and next year will be more determining factors, clearly, and how that's impacted. So, but that's really would be for the 21 year. So for this calendar year and meeting existing budget expectations and property tax, at least the property tax revenue, most of it has already been received.
All right. Well,
yeah, that's my understanding as well.
All right. Thank you for the question. And anyone else have any questions? You have some time to get in your phone call, 785-537-1350. I'm going to move on to item B on the general agenda tonight, and that is discussing something that was brought up at a previous meeting, and that is the 2023 sales tax ballot question potentially on the November ballot. And I know kind of there's been some back and forth, should we, shouldn't we? And for those that don't know, maybe just give us a little detail on what we're discussing here tonight.
Sure. So the last really 2.5 decades, we've had a special purpose sales tax for economic development that started with a city sales tax. We called it the Meadowfab sales tax in the mid-90s. That was a half-cent sales tax that was exclusive to the city that was in place for 5 years and it was launched as a result of the city's attempt to try and get the Cessna plant, which ultimately led to the development of the business park out by the airport and a few other things. Helped Banco Windows locally expand the first time. They've had several expansions since then. Then in the 2000s, we went with a countywide sales tax, so a roads and bridges, or roads, bridges, and jobs sales tax, which was a half-cent Riley County sales tax, which the city that was renewed again in 2012. And so that current sales tax is set to expire at the end of 2022. And so there's been some discussion really since the commission retreat and even before that about the renewal of that and how important that would be and whether or not the city should consider looking at it, a city sales tax again, which would basically you've got a lot of money that's sales tax revenue that's generated in the city on the Pottawatomie County side. Of course, you've got some very large boxes in Walmart and Menards and other places over there that generate a lot of sales tax. And so that's the discussion that has kind of come up about whether or not most of the funds that are remaining in the economic development fund for that two-year period, a lot of them have been pledged for future debt service on some of the projects that are either in the planning stage or even under construction. And so if you wait to renew that in 2022, or subsequent years, then you're kind of hitting the brakes as far as the commitment. If that were to renew, then you could utilize some of those funds that are in the account now, or will be in the account over the next couple of years, to continue leveraging projects or for other purposes. So the discussion last time was just the pros and cons of renewing it as a city sales tax, and the basic benefit of that right now, that county sales tax is distributed based on population for the most part, and so that half cent generates about $6.5 million in, about $3 million a year for the city, and about $2 million for the county, or $30 million over the 10-year life of the question. If it was a city sales tax, it would generate about $6.5 million for the city, or $65 million as a result of that. Right now, the city's portion of that is pledged 35% for property tax reduction and debt reduction, and 65% is split between traditional economic development and jobs and infrastructure. And so some of the discussion has occurred about if you ask a city question, do you want to change some of those percentages? Obviously, and some of that discussion has been delineating that, for example, 20% towards property tax reduction, and even though that percentage is going down, that 20% on a city tax will generate more for debt reduction and property tax relief. Another 20% for traditional economic development initiatives and jobs, and then the remaining 60% towards infrastructure and potentially a housing element. So some housing initiatives that would help with workforce housing issues, and some of those parameters, and then even an element for COVID recovery has been some of the discussion that's occurred. And so I might just reiterate that both these two items on the general agenda are discussion items with the regard to the budget and this sales tax ballot question. No action is intended to be taken for either of these measures. So it's just continued discussion that started at the last work session, and we have a draft ballot question relative to some of that, again, looking at some of the percentages, and then just continued discussion of the timing. If we're going to get something on this November ballot, it needs to happen fairly quick. We have to have the actual ballot language to the county before September 1st. Some of the advantages of again, not of being able to plan for your money sooner, is a big advantage, and then just to take advantage of the large turnout generally at the for a national election such as this, the voter turnout is substantially more. So again, all there's pros and cons as you look at it, and some of the unknowns. So looking for additional feedback from commissioners. There were appeared to be a majority of commissioners that wanted to at least continue the conversation. So that's what's on that schedule for tonight.
And I know, Mayor Reddy, you had your own concerns, but whether this is maybe the right time to do it here this year.
Yeah, this is a tax that, you know, we can do this year, next year, 2021 or 2022. And I understand the reason, you know, some commissioners and staff may want to do it this year. But I, you know, we've been discussing this for a couple of years, and then we had another discussion earlier this year, and my thought was that we weren't going to move forward this year, and then it came up last week, which I was surprised about. So I think there's discussions to be had. I understand why they may want to put it on the ballot this year, but I feel very I guess a little uncomfortable. Like I mentioned, there are so many challenges our families are facing right now. And to explain to them everything Ron just explained to you is, you know, they may take some time to understand it, but when they go there, what they're going to see is a sales tax. It won't be like, well, you're not really raising your taxes. They're going to stay the same, and they're going to continue into 2023 and all of that. So that takes a lot of education, a lot of resources, and the will of the people, if that's the way they want to go. Last year, we put a sales tax item, which was different than this one, and that didn't pass. And I worry that if two sales taxes don't pass in a row, you know, what might happen next year when we want to do it again. So, you know, I think there's, I understand the reasoning behind it, and I think we'll have a good discussion about it, and they'll figure it out. And the county is also going to do a similar tax either this year or next year, so we can't rule that out either from the Riley County Commissioner. So I think there's lots of discussion to be had and figure out what's best for our community, you know, resources being slim, and even from the state agencies, we may not get as much funding next year because they're also going through similar things, and they may also opt in for a sales tax increase themselves. So I'm not sure. I think there's just a lot of unknowns, and I look forward to the discussion this evening.
All right, I've got Charlie on the line. He's got a question. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, are you guys in charge of putting those sidewalks in?
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. Ask the question again. I forgot to pop my thing up. Sorry.
Are these sidewalks they're putting in now, are they, has the city got something to do with that?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that question? I didn't.
The sidewalks. Sidewalk. S-I-D-E-W-A-L-K. Sidewalk. Does the city have anything to do with this?
Yeah, we have a number of sidewalk projects that are going on our Safe Routes to School program. So it was, we did receive some grant funds that allowed for us to create some additional opportunities for kids to be able to get to school sooner, or most of the sidewalk projects that I'm aware of that we have going on.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but the thing is, I mean, some of them kids ride bikes. The sidewalks they're putting in now are pretty small to accommodate pedestrians and bicyclists. So I wonder why that's being done. I mean, if you're going to have a sidewalk to accommodate both bicyclists and pedestrians, you need something about 10 feet wide. And I don't see that going up.
Yeah, so the city does have a bicycle pedestrian plan that where we are encouraging folks to be on a sidewalk with a bicycle. We are constructing those 8 to 10 feet wide. If it's a neighborhood area, then we're encouraging, you know, the bicyclists to ride in that residential street for the most part. But I don't disagree with what you're saying. It's just kind of a, you know, where is it located, and you know, is it if it's on a next to a major arterial or that sort of thing? I know up on Kimball and where we have a big wide sidewalk that's on College, we're putting in a 10-foot trail on the west side of, the east side of College Avenue to help delineate that. And certainly we're doing that in areas where there's a sidewalk that's in close proximity to a collector or arterial street that has heavier traffic. And certainly that's kind of the methodology we utilize as opposed to a typical residential neighborhood. Not to say that it wouldn't be safer for the kids bicycling to school to also be on that side, and that would probably encourage it more if we had it, but it's, we wouldn't be able to build as much sidewalk if we had to build wider ones. So, and then generally speaking, in a residential area, you know, a lot of the folks that live there, they don't like shoveling the snow off the 5-foot sidewalk, much less the 10-foot. So those are some of the challenges we have. But I don't disagree with your comments about a need for additional width of sidewalks to accommodate bicycle infrastructure.
All right. I got to squeeze in.
And then we have e-scooters. So.
That's true, the e-scooters as well. I got to squeeze in a quick break. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up here. We'll be back in 2 minutes here on News Radio KMAN.